speak today, and not because of me, but just because I think that our lives are going to be blessed. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. But before we do any of that any further, and we're certainly going to do our best to watch the time as always, but can we again, with the sweetest of a saturated worship of praise unto God for one of his gifts, let's thank God for Sister Lori again in Jesus' name. Come on, let's do that. Thank you so much, woman of God. Praise God. I just think we needed to kick off a little bit. Amen. Amen. I love for us to pay attention to prayer. Turn to your neighbor and say, prayer.
Prayer.
And prayer specifically, I even as the woman of God began to attempt to prompt those that may have been carrying a word and would like to be obedient to that word that was inside of them and to speak it out, and she was inviting that. We're fading in and out. One of the things I love to do is to maybe perhaps share where our hearts can be at for prayer, where our hearts can be at for what? And if one of us receives something, it's an opportunity, an invitation for us all to enter into it. Is everybody with me? And so one of the things that I want you to do is to be courageous and be bold and step out. And you're going to hear a little bit about that today. But one thing I want us to think about in prayer today is these three things, and they all kind of revolve around the same thing, is that I'm in contact with people who, several families and marriages, they're expecting their baby to be born in a matter of the few months. Anybody with me? And therefore, I want us to really lift them up in prayer, because in so many situations, they need to be lifted up in prayer because something could be going on that's a little bit tender. Anybody say amen? So I ask that, I want to invite you into that, because I know there's two families very specific that are getting some reports of concern and having to go back and do tests today. Another one also, Sister Carla's daughter, Catherine, just got a test result back having COVID. Now, that's not something to be afraid of, but how many know we ought to intercede and pray for that? Amen?
Amen.
Praise Jesus. So I might bring the microphone to you to pray for that, for those pregnancies to be birthed. One was supposed to be birthed this week and has not yet. It's their firstborn. A second thing I want us to be very mindful to pray for is that I believe that we ought to pray as though they're our own children, or if you are a big brother, little sister, to pray for our students. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I don't know if you noticed that Ames looks different right now. Are you with me? Praise God. And as a direct result of that, there was a powerful prayer of a person that prayed on Friday night on Everyone Prays. And one of the things they prayed was this. And they said, literally, you might giggle at it. That's okay. But get what they said. God, forgive me because of my annoyance with traffic. God, forgive me for me looking at students and the people as though they're a bother. You know, when you laugh out loud like that, Brother Mark, that... You know, my bride is going to tell a testimony in second service, but I just want to say that, you know what? We're in a privileged place to have thousands of people come into this particular area to live. A generation that we can pray for. A generation we can touch. A generation can be world changers, difference makers. And we can't be annoyed for that. Somebody say praise God. Number three, I'd ask that we really sincerely pray for some families that are experiencing tremendous hardships over their children. Is anybody there? So I'm going to have this microphone on, and I'm going to just ask Sister Kathy Geis if you would just pray for all three of those right now, and we're just going to lean into it. You know what? When we gather together, one of the things that we ought to do is pray. One of the things we ought to do is what? And so we want to pray. You say, well, what about my situation? I tell you what, if you take care of somebody else's situation, God will take care of your situation.
Amen.
Somebody say amen. Would you pray? Come on, let's pray.
Father.
Blue. I'll get it. Thanks, Jude.
Father,
us, God. Everybody say amen again.
Amen.
Praise God. I want to share something with us today. God makes the impossible possible through people.
Amen.
I said, God makes the impossible possible through people. I'm so glad that three of you all believe that. Amen. I'm going to ask this one more time, and I'm going to ask you to read it with me. Read it. Say it again. Ready? Said, read. God makes the impossible possible through people. I believe we've got a few people saying it, but I wonder how many people we can get to believe it. I want you to hear again, because that's the part we want to have burning and sketched inside of every one of us. God makes the impossible possible through people. What we will receive in this message are these four things. I really pray and hope that one of the things that happens to you and to us is that you begin to have a heart of hope. A heart of hope. Say that with me. A heart of hope. When I say a heart of hope, what I mean specifically is a heart that believes a new view. How many understand, and I could go longer, but I want to make sure we get this understanding, is that I've been saying for a few weeks now is that we have tendencies to make problems exaggerated to justify why we want to use logic to solve it. That's a powerful word right there. In other words, we make our problems bigger. We exaggerate them. You know, when we tell them, it's like a storm and a hurricane. You know, one person was saying about gospel music one time, says that some songs say, I'm in the storm, I'm going through the storm, and storm's going to last. And someone spotted us and said, the storm's not going to last always. How many know we sing some things that aren't true? Are you with me? In other words, we've got to be able to have a heart of hope. And I can slow down right here to make sure you get this point. I find myself in and recognizing that though we've been sharing word for years, there are people that have, as we can see, being sent out or coming to BCC or might be new or might be unchurched or might come from a different background. And you know, sometimes we just keep going on and on without ever remembering that some of us, we need to gather back over some of our values. Like some over the basics of what we believe. And I really believe that in order to get to a place of understanding where you live at the place of Christ's life, there are some things that we have to have. And one, we've got to live. We've got to live with a heart of hope. All I'm saying is when you're presenting something, where does your attitude and thoughts go? You see, when believers, when we are in Christ, the first thing that we ought to respond to is, wait a minute, I've got hope in Christ. No matter what it is. Because if our situation seems bigger than God, then we'll give more attention to what is bigger. In other words, Jesus deserves our 100% attention because there is nothing bigger than God. Wow, I thought I was going to have some shouting. Y'all like looking at me today, amen? Listen, in this message, you're going to have this, the power to do what is impossible. The power to do what is impossible. Can you say that with me? The power to do what is impossible. Here's a real big answer right here. The answer is how to receive a spiritual word from God that becomes a living reality. The reason I really want to spend a little time here is that some of us might think this whole Christianity or being in Christ thing is about feeling better. Some of us might think that we come here to get inspired and encouraged and then go home and I feel better so I can do better. No. There is a reality of that which is invisible becomes visible. There is a strong reality of when something, which I will define today, is spoken, that it is well able to come to pass. Somebody say amen. Number four, I believe that part of that whole heart of hope where we believe new, oh, that's good, is to become people of possibilities. Is to become people of possibilities. Like right now, between those two words, I think some of us are more fixated on the impossibilities than we are on the possibilities. I want to give you some real, I'm going to slow down. I'm going to give you some real thought of what I mean. I mean, these things dawned on me to go to show you what I mean. I realized I've got these, what I call 10 priorities in my life, and I've had them for, multiple years. I mean, probably 20 plus years for sure. But I realized in just being able to prepare that two of my 10 priorities is all about overcoming impossibilities. Out of my own 10, two of them are all about overcoming possibilities. Can I tell you why? Because when anything happens, the first thing I go to is, God can do it. Amen. They happen to be number 9 and number 10 of my 10. And number 9 is this. Some of you might catch on to this. To dare dream the impossible dream. Come on, Pastor Carr. Come on, brother. To dare dream the impossible dream. Say that with me. Dare dream the impossible dream. You see, I don't mind being embarrassed to let you know I didn't grow up reading. I didn't grow up with the classics. I didn't grow up reading all of those thick books that you're supposed to read. Are you with me? Can I get some help, Sister Doctor? Amen. She says, Pastor, I know. I can tell by your grammar. Amen. But one thing is for sure is that when I got married to my bride, Anna Maria, and all of their education and articulation and doctorate degrees, she would turn to me all the time and say, you didn't read that? Look, I told you already, I didn't read it. But them being from a Spanish background, they let me know something that I needed to know. I can watch a movie. I can't get no help up in here. Amen. The man of the La Mancha. I'm telling you right now, you put it on the screen, I'll cry right before your very eyes. Because when that man is in that jail, I said Joseph, y'all didn't hear what I said. When the man is in the jail and he steps out with that book, he says, "You, we dare dream the impossible dream." You see, only a people can sing, "Raise a hallelujah." When you're in the middle of the storm, I raise a hallelujah because I can dream while I'm still in the pit. I can dream when I'm down and out. I can dream when you're coming against me because you can't stop me from dreaming. My God. Woo! Second one, number 10 is this. You're that. Whatever I'm about to say to number 10, you're that. Number 10 is this. Is to my priority is to empower people to live by their priorities, to live by their God-created purpose, to maximize their potential and become people of possibilities. That's you. So this message is to empower you to become people of possibilities. Say, I will
become
a person of possibilities. What I'm trying to get you to understand is the first one. In order to do that, you've got to have a renewed view of everything you do. When something comes your way of difficulty, I don't know where I'm going to go to school or how I'm going to pay for it. I've got clients more than I can handle. I've got to take care of my wife after a surgery. I'm not sure how we're going to walk with our parents. How am I going to keep the job? How am I going to not have an injury on the team? Whenever you are in life, you've got to begin to embrace everything that happens from the place my heart is filled with hope and God is bigger than whatever comes my way. That's a good way to give God a big praise offering right now. Can you do that? Come on, that's a good way. You just got the message. You just got the message. God makes, say it out loud with me. God makes the impossible possible through people. I want to share with you in a very short period of time, it should be a simple message, but then you got Terrance C. Smith. But the issue is, I want to share with you three people in Scripture that have three different receivings of impossibilities. One did not receive, one, and the other two did. Somebody say amen. But one received, but through a difficulty. And then one received fully the way God wants us to be people of possibilities. Somebody say amen. Can I get you to turn your Bible to Mark chapter 10? We're going to pick up. We're going to use the same exact story. This was to show you the divine orchestration of God. I know Sister Tony, who shared a wonderful message on last week, a very practical word. She used this passage of Scripture last week. And what I like to do, I promise you, is was a plan prior to now that we're going to pick up from where she is, and I'm going to do the very best not to thwart or overturn anything that she shared that would be confusing, that would uproot your faith. That's not my intent. But all I want to do is look at what our story is about today, and that is God makes impossibilities possibilities through people. Through who?
People.
Mark chapter 10. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Starting in verse 17. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" You put in there whatever you like, up to and inclusive of eternity. "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and your mother. Teacher, the man replied, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young. How many of you know that when you are young, you pretty much so see that you've been doing a good job? Just saying. Verse 21. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. We've got to pause right there for a moment because this is almost, you know, one of those top major verses that helps your worldview. That helps your what? This helps your worldview. Jude, listen up. This is going to help your worldview. I want you to make sure you see the scriptures because there are some things that we say and quote that this scripture potentially might uproot. Notice it says, looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Here's what I want to make your point. She said it last week. I just want to emphasize it. The Bible just said that God loves him. Everybody got that? Let's take it a little bit further. I know God loves all people. You're right. Take it a step further. See, God loves all people. God loves the whole world. That verse helps us show that Jesus does love all people. Is everybody with me? I want to make sure you get this. God loves all people. Everybody with me? Watch out. There is still one thing you haven't done. He told him, go and sell all of your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Does everybody see that? You've got to connect those two. He was loved, but he went away without the possibilities. He was loved, but he went away without the possibilities. He was loved by God. There is an entire nearly 7.8 billion of people in the world today, and God loves every single one and us all collectively. But the question is, why did he walk away without receiving the possibilities? This is the first gentleman we would like to look at. The first example we have is that someone had a full opportunity. I mean, he's living with Jesus. You know how some of us are. If I lived back there in those days, I would have been with Jesus. Amen? Come on, right, Josh? This man took his loot and was on the boot, right? He was out. He's like, give up what? Right? Look at what it says. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard, how what?
Hard.
How what?
Hard.
In other words, how almost impossible. How almost impossible it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. This amazed them, But Jesus said again, dear children, it is very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. So much great teaching there. Just remember, we're scanning over the story, not the details. The disciples were astounded. Then who in the world can be saved? They asked. It's just like our question today when we see we have, like, something didn't go right for us, or we didn't overcome something, or we've been in a difficult situation for so long. One of the things we do is we project it out. Well, who can be saved? Who can be free from debt? Who can have a relationship? Who can care for their children? Who can really do this job? It's too much stress. Who can, you know, I have no friends. You know, the questions that come. Let's take a look. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. But not with God. I said, but not with God. Because everything is possible with God. Because everything is possible with God. Somebody say amen. take a look at a few of these points. We'll go really fast here, but then I want you to meet me over in one more passage of scripture in a minute. Look at this. First of all, the first one is the rich young ruler. In other words, commandments and rules he had kept. Watch out. He was loved by God. God loves me. God loves everybody. But one thing you lack, riches kept him. You didn't get that. Listen, he kept riches, but the riches kept him. Now, I know you're saying, can't be talking about me. You've seen my bank account. Let me make it plain. You see, the reason he's called, I mean, in all these titles, the rich young ruler, is because when you say rich.
Rich.
What's the opposite of rich?
Poor.
And scripturally, when you speak about poor, the actual translation means needy. You see, when you measure yourself as I don't have a need, I've kept all of these commandments since I was young. In other words, I don't have any needs. You see, when we are more striving after what would be like a national agenda, or I've got all of my, I've got a 3-car garage and 2.5 children and 401k, and I, you know, when I've got all of that, I don't really have any needs, right? I live right. Uh-oh, y'all know what, you know what like today's generation is, right? I'm a good person, right? How many ever heard I'm a good person? What that means is I don't have any needs. You see, the word rich deals with the concept of I have everything I need. And then he says my own ability. I have kept everything since I was a youth. I have everything I need. Therefore, I do all of those things which were commandments and laws. I fulfill them on my own ability. Hallelujah. I love it. And then it says he's a ruler, which is the translation for the word what? Leader. And one of the difficulties for leaders, sometimes that have been given an authority of somebody that had really been accomplishing something, is their ability to surrender and submit. In other words, to follow. But if you look at the scripture a little bit more closely, what Jesus really defines out when he says, go sell everything, he says, sell everything, give it to the poor, he really just said, deny yourself. The scripture actually says, deny yourself, because the next thing he said was, pick up your cross and follow me. And I like us to say, and just venture a little bit, I think it's becoming more of an increasing time as we're reaching more mercy, is that we need to understand that probably the most difficult of people that do well, especially in these generations era, is not necessarily picking up your cross, not necessarily following Jesus, but being able to deny yourself. God have mercy. I understand. And then he says, enter the kingdom. I just want to say this because it just happened to me recently. Is when we talk about enter the kingdom, we're not talking about entering heaven. We're talking about entering the kingdom. Say kingdom.
Kingdom.
We're talking about entering the kingdom. I'll just give you a small definition, like Romans 14, 17, right? For the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is to be experienced here on earth. Therefore, if we are not in those, we should be experiencing the kingdom because of God's righteousness, because of his peace, and get this, because of his what? Joy. Amen. The last one is the example of a person who did not receive. I want to share this with you. We have decent time right here. Look at this. This is worth a revealed principle truth. A revealed principle truth. The word became living reality. The word became living reality. In John chapter 1, verse 14, notice what it says. And the word became flesh, which means human, even in some translations, and dwelt, which means lived, among us. And we beheld his glory, say glory. And the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want us to get from this principle truth, this very important thing because of where we're going. The Bible says, and the Word, like this is a memorization inside of your heart, and the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. That which was the logos, or that which was the written, that which was just on paper, that which was passed down through the generations and the ages, but he also has a name, a capital W, and the Word became flesh. It became a living reality. It became an actual, tangible, touchable, someone that you can actually sit down with. I want you to make sure you understand that you might hear promises from God. You might have prayers and people praying over you. You might read a scripture and something gets like alive on the inside of you. Like, for instance, while we're praying for Binti or Justine up here, and they said, you know, you, Pastor Holly said, you might have an uphill battle, but God will cause you to do everything necessary. If you lean into it and despise not prophesying, despise means not to bring to nothing. If you believe in the things that's spoken over your life, the prayers of the righteous, that God hears them whenever we pray according to his will, and when we know that we've prayed his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we know that which we have asked for. When you actually believe that, you're looking for that which is invisible to become that which is living reality. Glory to God. I don't know about you. Wow, you're just doing it. Okay, God. Years ago, maybe before some of y'all were born, I had just been kicked out of Iowa State University, and I started working. And when I started working, I thought, you know, I should, you know, try to go into sales. And so I started trying to sell stuff, insurance, encyclopedias, all kinds of financial things or whatever. Didn't have rent money, didn't have phone money, didn't have food money. I didn't have money. Worked about 3 or 4 jobs, waited tables, did all kinds of things. You see, what you don't understand is, you say, oh, Pastor, you know, when you look at people, you look at them in the now. You have no idea. You have not even a clue. I'm not being upset with you. Just what you don't understand is, I'm not up here trying to inspire you. I'm trying to tell you how I got to where I am, because it's real. You see, the night I always tell the story about is that I had about $7, I think it was $8, maybe $10, I don't know. It's like, and to catch the bus back to Ames, it was like $12, or I had like right the amount of money. And I had on some suit that I've been wearing. It was so, I'm not being funny, it was so stinky or whatever. Never had dry cleaning or anything like that. I could, you know, like sit it in a corner. And I used to have shoes, and they had holes in them. So I would curl my toe up on one side, because when it was raining, it would leak inside. And so while I'm in Des Moines, I had to decide something. Am I going to go down there and buy a slice of pizza, somehow spend the night here? Or am I going to catch the bus in order to make it back home? I'm not trying to tell you some sad, sappy story. I'm trying to tell you that in that moment, that felt impossible that I was ever going to come out of this. I promise you, I thought I was going to have to go back to St. Louis, Missouri, live with my mama. I did. But when I say in the middle of that situation, what I didn't tell you is that I also stood outside looking at a car that had Story County plates on it. Because I thought, whatever their office is and they come and get back in this car, I'm going to walk over and ask them, can I have a ride? In other words, even in the midst of an impossible situation, I'm going to think of the possibilities of how to do something about it. I'm not going to be down and out even if I'm at my worst, because God wants me to dare dream an impossible dream. I didn't tell you the other half. But then I turn around and believe that God causes all dreams to come true. Give the Lord a big praise offering in Jesus' name. My God. And some of y'all over here praying for the difference between an A minus and an A. And I'm sure that's important. Say the Word. Know what I mean, everybody? Say the Word was made flesh. What the question is, Do you want impossibilities to be made possible? Turn to Luke chapter 1, quickly, if you will. Luke chapter 1. We certainly can't read the whole passage, but I want to see a couple of verses, if you don't mind. I'll read it from the New Living Translation. Here it says, in verse 5, when Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. Say Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. Somebody say amen. Amen. Say impossible.
Impossible.
They were barren and they were past years. Have you ever been there? Not thinking about literally natural children, though that may apply, but I'm asking you, have you ever felt like this is an empty season?
Amen.
Have you ever felt like this is a desert place? Have you ever felt like, seems like, and I hear this often, other people around me and other people's family seem to be doing well. I'm not sure why not me. Some people might say, you know, I've been raising my children with the admonition and under training them up in the way that they should go, and I don't know how or where this came from. All I'm trying to make sure you identify with is impossibilities. You see, impossibilities, this is worth your note taking. It's not on the notes on the screen. You see, when you say something's impossible, get this, impossible to you might just mean hard. Oh, that's a good word. You know what some of us are calling impossible is hard. You know what? Just because it's impossible and just because it's hard for you doesn't mean it's too big or too hard for God. Give the Lord a good amen. All I'm saying is that though it's impossible to you does not mean it's impossible to someone else. Hallelujah. Because God sees your impossibilities. Are you ready for some answers? The Bible says that she was barren. She was what?
Barren.
Some of you all know the story. If not, I'll just try to tell it to you verbally. It's simply this. Oh, I got to show you this. Look at this. This is kind of important. Look at this, because it deals with the message. Look at this. So one day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple for his order of his duty week. And, ooh, so good. As was the custom of the priest, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. And while incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. And while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, is going to be Gabriel, standing to the right hand of the incense of altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer." God has heard your what?
Prayer.
God has heard your what?
Your
wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. Stop right there, just for good teaching purposes. He just got a word from God. He just got a what?
Word.
Everybody in this section. He just got a what?
Word.
Good. He just got a what?
Word.
He just got a what?
Word.
Just got a what?
Word.
Just got a word from God. So therefore, when we say the word, watch this. You will have a great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be of great in the Lord's eyes. Look there. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit ever before his birth. He will turn many Israelites. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Jump down to verse 18. Zechariah said to the Lord, "How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." Then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news." Good news means gospel. Now, I got to contrast something, which is going to show you person number two. Zechariah didn't believe. And therefore, whatever's about to happen is a result of him not believing. Everybody got that? But here's what's important. But he still received a word. Because God spoke the word. Because God spoke the word. Because God sent him the word. Are we going to call somebody to shout and understand this? Listen, This is a hope for all of us that need help in our unbelief. Even though we might feel like we're going through it more difficult than we thought, but when God sends you a word, we can't uproot it. We can't stop it. You can't deny it, because when God gave you a word, he don't need your belief system. He will still bring it to pass. You know what the difference is? Is that you just didn't have a good time going through it, but it's still coming to pass. God sends you a word, and he is faithful to fulfill what he said and what he spoken. And even though you might have done wrong, you will still receive, because it's his word and it's not based on us. Glory to Jesus. Whoa! My God. See, that's person number two. That's person number what? Let me look at a couple of notes. You see, two people who did receive impossibilities. There were two people who did receive what? Come on, y'all should be getting a little bit more joyful. It's almost done here. Listen. There's two people that received what? That received impossibilities. They became possible. Listen, Zechariah and Mary. You see, Zechariah questioned in his heart. Here's the difference. Zechariah questioned in his heart. In other words, his long tattered time of going unfulfilled wore out his belief system. And he was probably far more into a different doctrine to explain why he hasn't had his prayers answered. But the Gabriel, the one that was by God in the presence of God, says to him, I stand next to God and he is answering your prayer. You see, it just has need of patience. Some of us need to understand that the prayer is heard, the prayer is answered, and the prayer is on its way. And just when you didn't have it, when you said so, doesn't mean that it's not coming to you. God heard your prayer and God's answered your prayer. Wow. You're going to see that Mary asked a question too, but she asked the question, she didn't question it. How many of you know some of us, we question it versus she in the innocence of a tender heart. She said, how can this be? She said, Mary, she asked the question, and I want you to see this revelation. Lord, we haven't even got to the revelation. My God. Can I get you to jump down, if you will? We got to go straight to it. Jump down to verse, let's say 33. 33 says, verse 33, and he will reign over Israel. This is Gabriel now speaking to Mary. And he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I am a virgin. And the angel replied, you see, she didn't say it's not going to happen. She said, well, how is this going to happen? The angel replied, the Holy Spirit. Let me stop. I want to help you right quick. You see, when you receive a prayer or a prophecy, you don't want to just uproot it. That never could happen. That's really nice of them. Bless their heart. They're praying for me. No. Your heart should be so open, absorbing, hungry and thirsty. Speak life over me. Thank you, Jesus. I'm receiving that promise, right? So look what she says. Then the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. Once more, your relative, here's a testimony, Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now her 6 month. For the word of God will never fail. That's where the scripture, I'll give you a teaching in a minute. And then look what Mary's response is in verse 38. Mary responded. Mary what? Responded. She's going to be a person of possibilities. This is the answer, you all. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. That is the answer. When you receive a word, a promise, a prophecy, someone prays over your life, our position of a person of possibility is, may every word spoken come over my life. And everybody said amen. I'm going to get you ready to play a little bit if you don't mind, Sister Lori. Listen, I'm going to go fast. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Say it with me. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. This scripture right here, Luke 1, I don't care. You go look at many translations. Most of them are going to end up right in here. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Can I get you to say it one more time? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. I love this picture. I want you to know why it's there. Because many of us are wanting to learn how to hear God. We're wanting to learn how to hear the voice of God. And this is so important. We hear the voice of God because God speaks his word. God speaks his word to us. I said, God speaks his word to us. I'm not asking you to be a theologian. I'm not asking you to be a scholar. But for us that want to grow that God, how does God keep speaking to you? Because God speaks his word. And when you have his word inside of you, the Holy Spirit breathes on that and brings into your remembrance a specific word. Not all 66 books of the Bible, but a word that you needed to receive at the time you needed to receive it, that gives you divine direction of something that's invisible, that God will make a reality. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Look, four distinct words from the Lord. With God, nothing shall be impossible. I want to tell you about this word with. The word with means besides. It means near. And one definition means this: in sight of. God is in sight. God is near. God is beside. And God has been doing this all throughout the Old Testament. In the book of Deuteronomy, in the book of Joshua, I love the one in Joshua, it says this: I will be with you. Say with you. Wherever you go. Have you ever heard that God says, I'll be with you? See, some of us think that God wasn't with me when I got into that. God wasn't with me when I went through that. No, no. God says, I will be with you. It's the very predominant thing throughout all of scripture. When Joseph was caught by his brothers, thrown into a pit, then carried off into slavery, put into another place, every time it says, and God was with Joseph. I'm telling you, it's the key essential to being able to live in possibilities, because you will stop looking at impossibilities when you've got the one who makes and creates everything is with you. God will be with you. Even Jesus came on the scene about to ascend into heaven and says, lo, I'll be with you until the end of the world. We've got a God who wants you to be with him. Wow. Four words from the Lord. The next one was God. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That means God who is good, who is full of grace, the God of all glory. We're talking about God, the only true God, creator, maker, and savior. We're talking about God. When we see that word God in that verse, the Bible study says it refers to the things of God. He's the counselor in everything of his interest, things that's due unto him. In other words, he is the supreme deity. It is God in all of his divinity. When we talk about with God, we're talking about the God who created everything, spoke all things into existence, takes a little lunch and makes it a buffet. We're talking about the God who can stop a funeral procession and touch on the coffin and give the son back to his mother. We're talking about God who raises the dead, saves people from sin, sheds his own blood, cares about what you care about. When you're interested in your children, Josh, God's interested in your children. I'm telling you, we're talking about God. God with God. My God. Four words from the Lord. Then the word nothing. This is where we got to end at. Watch this. Say nothing. Nothing. Oh, this is a beautiful study. Nothing. Say nothing. Nothing. Do you know in the actual Greek, this is actually three words? Whoa! The word nothing in English, when they translate it, for with nothing, for with what? Nothing. The word nothing in the Greek is actually three words. The first word means, get this, no, not, get this, in direct questions, expecting an affirmative answer, an absolute negative. When we say no, that first part, no, means an absolute affirmative negative. And then the second word means each, every, meaning individually. And then it also means all, means collectively, some or all. So when it says nothing, it means no. It means individually, and get this, it means rhema. Say rhema. The word rhema, as many of you all know, it means this. Watch this. That which is or has been uttered by the living voice. And I don't know if you get this. If we learn how to hear the voice of God, he's the living voice. And when he speaks a thing, it's called rhema. He takes the logos and speaks to our hearts, and it becomes rhema. It becomes a specific individual word. Get this. It means any sound produced at the voice, having a definite meaning, speech and discourse, a series of words joined together into a sentence, a declaration, a declaration of one's mind made in words. When God speaks to you, he's speaking his mind, his heart, his interest over your life, an utterance, a saying of any sort of a message, a narrative concerning some occurrence. When we talk about rhema, it's a spoken forth as it is a matter, command, dispute, a cast of law. Sometimes people want to come against you with legality. I don't want to hear it. God's gave me a rhema for that. Somebody say amen. What I'm trying to get you to hear is when it says shall be impossible, it means not to have strength, power, or ability. It means not to have strength, power, or ability. So here's what it means. It means for with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. In other words, when God speaks a word to you, in that word is also the power to bring it to pass. That's why nothing shall be impossible with God, because when he said it, he already was ready to fulfill it. If you receive it, then it's all about you now waiting for it to come. God is the one who speaks to our lives and brings those invisible things into reality. Wow. With God, everything spoken, rhema word, has the power to make all things possible. That's word. Mary in her gentleness says, I know that sounds impossible, but if this is the word from heaven over my life, I am your servant. May every word you've spoken happen to my life. Glory to God. Glory to God. God makes the impossible possible through people. Say that out loud. God makes the impossible possible through people. It happens through little cute little ladies like Kaylin. It happens to people with dreads. It happens to people with beards like Anthony. It happens to this nice little lady that has on her high heels. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter who you are. God wants you to be a person of possibilities. And give the Lord a big shout for that right now in Jesus' name. Walt Disney said, it's kind of fun to do the impossible. Didn't he do it? It's kind of fun to do the impossible. I want to share this testimony with you as I go home, or as you go home. I want to speak to the students. You can come play if you would, if you don't mind, just some chords in the background. You might feel like what you're up against this semester is too big. How can I ever take all of these classes? How can I ever do any of this work? Will I be able to get, am I going to be able to salvage my GPA after the pandemic? With God, nothing shall be impossible. Somebody say amen. The power of personal testimonies. I was supposed to review my notes. I'm just going to tell you what happened. You know, a couple of weeks ago when I wasn't here, I was away on a ministry trip. And we had driven to get to the Airbnb, and it was at least 2 o'clock a.m. before we arrived. So it's about 2 a.m. We had been up from here since like 4. Slept a little bit on the plane, but it's 2 a.m. driving through the night. Everybody in the car is asleep. We get to the Airbnb. We all just go to bed. And as as I'm sleeping, about 3 hours later, I'm experiencing a dream. I'm experiencing a vision. I'm experiencing it. And God was speaking to me, and I could tell. I had a sense of consciousness. I was like, oh, my God, you really are this wonderful God. I've heard it be said that, God, you move in people's lives like this when they get into a sphere, when they get into a realm by which, God, you are speaking to people and you're working and you're ministering to them. And, God, I don't know how this could be. I should be so tired. I should be so sleeping. How am I having this vision before you, this night dream? God, how am I doing this? God, you are so wonderful. And he's speaking to me about BCC and speaking to me about the word of God. And I'm just like in the dream having so much joy. And then I remember God saying this. He said, get up. I went from that sleep. I was asleep, and I went from sleep, and I just got up immediately. In a second, he said, step out. No, he said, stand up. You're going to have a cramp. This happened before the cramp. I stood up, and when I stood up, the cramp began. And when I put my foot down, the cramp went away. I was already with God in a dream. God was already speaking to me. And you see, when that word says he's concerned about even the smallest things in your life, I said, I was like in awe. I was like, oh, my God, I know that just happened. I cannot deny that that just happened. And then I remembered what he said. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Why do I sweat? Why do I cry? Why do I pour out? Why do I yell and scream? Because I believe it's unfair that I'm the only one that experienced God in this magnitude way. I just want this young lady, and I want you, Kevin, and Aunt Peggy, I want you to experience God's voice where he speaks to you and he knows you how to face your future before you ever get there. You see, I'm a long way from holes in my shoes. I'm not talking about material things. I'm talking about I just refuse to have to worry. I refuse not to give it up sacrifices of praise. I refuse for you to look at me funny when I run around the church or cry out loud. I doesn't matter a bit. Because with God, all things are possible. Stand to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Time is ready to go. I'm just going to ask that you would play the chords. Sister, I don't want you to miss this moment, so I've got to just do it very quickly. But if you're in this place and you need to become a person of hope, like your heart needs to hope, you know, we could say it like this. You know that you're kind of, and I understand your wiring, but you kind of feel like you're a negative person and you're a worry person. When you hear something, the first thing you go to is either worry or how to fix it, rather than the hope of Christ in you. You just want to have a new view. If that's you, you know what, Pastor? I heard you say, man of the La Mancha, I believe that I too need to dare dream the impossible dream. If that's you, if it's you that wants to see invisible things become a reality, on the count of three, I'm just going to ask that you lift up your hand. We're just going to say a short prayer. We're just going to speak that verse over you, and you're going to receive that which was invisible so that you become a person that comes and makes that visible. One, two, I want to get in on that, Pastor Turan. Three, lift up your hands right now, if you will. Thank you so much, God. Hands up everywhere. Father, in a commitment to your word and all of who you are and what you want to do, Jesus, I pronounce blessing and life over every hand held God, I know that we're on one of the two sides, either one. We might be Zechariah, we might be Mary, but God, we will not be the rich young ruler. We do have needs. We need you, Jesus. So right now, because Zechariah's voice did come back, he did receive the possibility. He did have a baby boy who was filled with the Holy Spirit. He did turn people back to Israel. God, I thank you, Jesus, that Mary is a person of possibilities. So I pronounce blessing over every hand and every heart lifted. With God, nothing ever again shall be impossible to you. Because with every word spoken and you receive, there is power in Rhema to bring it to pass. And we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you our praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Come on, let's celebrate. Come on, let's celebrate. Glory to God. Glory to God. We are dismissed. God bless you all. We know we start service in about 15 minutes. God bless you all. Thank you.